Next on The Californians.
There's a breathtaking spot in this great land of ours where the mountains descend to the sea in more wondrous beauty than words can express. And my loved one did wait there for me.
They don't know you.
And now for news of our own West Coast, we take you to
Los Angeles. You don't need that love.
KFI AM 640, Sunday, Elizabeth Espinosa. It is 5 a.m., nice and early. I have to be honest with you, I still think, and I still like the idea, even though a DUI driver almost killed me last Saturday night when I was driving my friend home, but I still think the 4 a.m. call time, you know, end of bar, what is it, what are we calling that? It's, it must be 5 a.m., call time, meaning the end of the bar.
Last call.
Wow. All of that for last call, Elizabeth. Good morning. Wake up.
Good okay. morning. Wait, are you still, have your pajamas on?
I do. Well, you know, I thought it looked like this really cute outfit I had for.
Are those Garfield slippers?
Wow. They're actually Supergirl.
Okay, sorry.
No, but we wanted to start the show this hour. We've got a great 2 hours for you, as you imagine. It's all we have for you. It's great stuff. Let's be real. We're very modest here on the Sunday Morning Show with Elizabeth Espinosa. But we thought we'd get into this discussion because, interestingly enough, over a week ago, I was out on a story and still breaks my heart. My heart and prayers go out to the family of Elias Rodriguez, a missing young man whose body was found in the river, the LA River. Well, I was out there with a bunch of federal agents. They had a task force because they were looking for him, right? So LAPD was out there, LA School Police, FBI. And there have been a couple of pieces that have come out since the whole travel ban under President Trump and the new administration, the new orders to crack down on illegal immigration. Well, it was interesting because we were following, my camera and I, some of the federal agents that were knocking door to door, you know, trying to find information about this missing young man. And at one point you know, my cameraman looks at me and he kind of chuckled. He said, wow, you think people are going to open their door when you hear it? Knock, knock. You know, it's like, FBI.
Yeah, that knock, cop knock.
FBI. Yeah, I mean, come on. Really? So I get it, you know, and I'm glad they at least said the right thing. They are FBI. They weren't lying about that. But there is a new controversy, and that is that ICE, and when I say ICE, I'm talking about Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So ICE agents are actually knocking on doors. And this is an LA Times piece, and also New York Times, I believe, is talking about it. And no, they're not fake news. This is actually reporting. But that they are knocking on certain doors, and they're identifying as police. And so the ACLU and other organizations, especially immigration rights activists, are arguing that's misleading and unfair and wrong. They actually have to identify as ICE agents, as opposed to just saying, knock, 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 it's police. Because that's not true, and that's just a deceptive way of trying to get them invited into the home, find out if someone there is undocumented, and take them in. And they're saying that's not right. But, of course, Virginia Kice, who's a spokesperson here in Southern California for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, she said, and she, you know, they always issue a statement, and I called her, funny enough, I called her probably 2 weeks ago on a different story. And boy, she's not a nice lady. She's about to retire. She's been there for a million years. But I'm sorry, Virginia. She was very curt with me on the phone. And yes, this is how I'm going to have to depict you because she wasn't very friendly. And I thought, boy, you know, you're getting paid to answer the information, you know, the calls and information that the press needs. So just be nice. It doesn't take that much. But anyway, she issued a statement saying that as a standard practice, initially identify themselves as police during an encounter because it is the universally recognized term for law enforcement and our personnel routinely interact with individuals from around the world. Okay. So, yes, they wear ICE-issued uniforms and jackets, but it is misleading.
Yeah, the ICE is on the back.
Right.
You know, so how do you knock with your back to the door?
Right.
Yeah, just saying.
And fine. Maybe technically, let's get real technical here. Let's go to the letter of the law. There's nothing illegal about ICE agents simply identifying themselves as police officers because they are part of the law enforcement family while standing outside someone's front door. They do carry guns, you know. However, Without a warrant, they cannot force their way into someone's home. Instead, they have to receive consent from an adult to go inside. But I think that you have instances, and I tell you, as a television reporter, we go to people's homes, and I used to work, as you know, at Univision and Telemundo, you know, many moons ago, but I remember being out there. And these are families that come from countries where this kind of law and order doesn't exist. So they don't understand a warrant. They don't get that. So they'll just let you in. I mean, there's a humility and a kindness there. And look, let's get the bad people out. Please stop thinking, oh, Elizabeth, you're such a liberal. That's not it. It's just understand that, you know, some of these families are just hardworking families that come here and want a better life. And that's a whole different argument, you know, in terms of if you agree or not with deporting 11 million people. All I'm saying is that, you know, a lot of these families don't understand the politics, don't understand the legalese of the warrant discussion so that people can come in or not. So there's a lot of awareness that's being raised in those communities. Now, sure, let's get all the bad people out. But I also think we need to do it in a very democratic and a very America first way. And when I say America first, to me, it means it's fair. It's humane. There's compassion. Because we are a nation of immigrants. And if you did something wrong, if you deserve to be kicked out, then so be it. But let's not target people that are just working hard to improve their life. And they actually, by default, help us here in the U.S. Okay? And they pay taxes and they don't receive a write-off. They can't go 20 years without paying federal income taxes. Hint, hint, if you know who I'm talking about. And again, this is without getting political. I don't mean to be political, but I think that it's important that they show that type of respect and humane treatment, because that's what sets us apart from the rest of the world. That's what sets us apart from ISIS and the bad guys and the real bad hombres that are doing bad stuff out there. So I know that LA, some of the top elected officials are urging federal authorities to stop this practice, right? Of identifying themselves as police. But I got to tell you something, to be honest with you, like Mayor Eric Garcetti running for re-election, of course, is trying to get his name out there, which is fine. But I don't think they're going to listen to him. I don't think they even care. Because during the travel ban, I was blown away by the fact that nobody gave anyone information, not even immigration rights attorneys that were at LAX asking about these families that were caught in secondary. That's the area where they're taken when they're not sure if they're going to be allowed into the country. And city council members were there requesting information. The mayor, I mean, they looked at them like peons, the feds, and said, nope, no information. You know, it was a total blackout. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, you did this to the mayor of the city of Los Angeles, the second largest city in the nation. This is a power trip. This is a problem. We need to all work together. And the fact that they wouldn't even give him information just goes to show that the feds are coming in. They do not care. Which brings me to the next topic, which is we have a law that we passed here in California. Whether you like it or not, recreational use for marijuana has been approved. We know medicinal marijuana has been in practice for some time now. But now what does it mean with the fact that the new administration, believes that you're going to see more raids? Because federal law does supersede state law. And federally speaking, marijuana use is still illegal. So the raids are coming. California, it looks like it's going to try to fight back. But how far can they go? We're going to get into that when we come right back. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Don't forget to tweet me and Instagram me. Into the newsroom. What's going on? I feel it coming. I feel it coming. I feel it coming. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. All right, here in the 5 o'clock hour, we're talking a little bit about, local politics, but really it's going to affect not just California, it's going to affect all parts of the nation. So you know that, marijuana or cannabis or weed, pot, whatever you call it, has really taken center stage over the last few years. Several states, of course, Colorado being the big one, that went recreational use, legalizing marijuana for recreational use some time ago now, has, It's a thriving economy. In fact, Colorado and Washington became the first states to legalize recreational pot. And under the Obama administration, he chose to leave them alone, right? In 2013, the Justice Department released the Cole Memo, they called it. It addressed all U.S. attorneys, which basically told them, hey, take a hands-off approach. to legalization for the time being, because federally speaking, it's still illegal. That's right. And federal law supersedes state law. Well, what happens when you have a new administration is things change, right? There's a different stance on things. So now the question is, will there be a federal crackdown? Are they coming for your weed, right? And we know that here in California, several of our leaders are in the marijuana industry. It's bizarre that there may be a very unusual alliance forming, because they're trying to figure out how they're going to work together, you know, to basically fight back. We know that White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer has told several reporters during those briefings, you know, those briefings with Melissa McCarthy. I mean, Sean Spicer, sorry. Yeah, that's from SNL. He's made it very clear that he said, quote, "I do believe that you'll see greater enforcement." So basically saying that they don't necessarily believe that this whole idea of recreational use is going to be a go. Like, no, they're going to crack down on this. And the administration, though, it does appear for now that they may is the operative word, continue to allow states to regulate the sale of marijuana for medical use. So that might possibly still be in the works. But this is tough. You know, I mean, again, marijuana is still scheduled slated as a Schedule 1 illegal substance by the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency. That basically puts it in the same category as cocaine and heroin. Of course, that's incredibly controversial, and you have people in the medical field who say that's stupid. That should not be the case, because of some of the studies that we know. It's basically a plant. It's medicinal. And yes, over long-term use, especially if you're young, it can, at least in some studies, and I don't mean to speak for scientists, it can possibly slow your brain waves. And so you have to be careful with it. But there is medicinal purposes. I mean, you think about people who take, you know, we just talked to that one pain specialist, Dr. Lowenstein, here on KFI over a week ago. And we talk about, you know, opioids and the fact that people take, you know, hydrocodone and oxycodone. And these are really powerful drugs that actually are a little more harmful than a root, an herb. So I just think that once again, we've got, there's another uphill battle on the way. So I don't know. I mean, do you feel that now? I just think this is weird. The roles are reversing, because, of course, generally conservatives will say, hey, federal government, big government, stay out of, you know, stick to your own business, you know. Let states do what they need to do. If we regulate, if we've approved or not approved something, this is what we want it to be. Don't tell us what to do, you know, big brother. And now it's a little bit, it's bizarre that it's switched. Now you've got these so-called, you know, conservatives who don't like big government meddling into the state's business and saying, we're going to come after you. We are going to crack down on these businesses. We know that the new Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, has a long history of opposition to marijuana, especially, you know, as a senator from Alabama. So what's going to happen to all these shops here in California, right? Like in West Hollywood, Long Beach. We voted to legalize recreational pot back in November. And, you know, is in fact right in the middle of putting together regulations to understand how we're going to sell and manufacture and regulate this industry, which creates billions of dollars in profits for businesses and taxes. I mean, Colorado has done very well. So I don't know. I don't know that they're going to really listen to us, California. I think that train has, or that ship has sailed. I think that marijuana now is definitely a lot more of an acceptable practice. I'm not saying that I want, you know, young kids going out there. And in fact, you know, I hate to stun ya, surprise ya, but I actually voted against legalizing cannabis for recreational use. And that was for selfish.
I hate you.
I know you do. This is for total selfish reasons. And you know why? Because I can't stand the smell. I can't stand the smell of smoke, period. But when I smell that cannabis, ugh, it smells like skunk to me. Doesn't it?
Well, there are strains that's called skunk. But you brought a really good point. You talked about what's going to happen to the shops. But do you think there's some sort of synergistic thing going on? I'm going to put on my conspiracy hat right now.
Okay.
Jeff Sessions just said that he's going to start giving out contracts to private prisons again. Okay?
Oh.
Now, you criminalize weed again. So you need to put people in prisons.
You do need to put people in prisons.
Maybe it's a chicken and an egg thing. Maybe I just read too much HuffPo or something like that.
No, but that could very well be. I mean, that could very well be. You know, I was really surprised, though, speaking of Dana Rohrabacher, right? He's a Republican, and he's putting something together here. He's planning to introduce legislation, they said, that would, you know, basically blunt Spicer's threat, hoping to prevent the Department of Justice from enforcing federal laws against the recreational use of marijuana. You know, in places like California, we've legalized it. So I thought I was blown away by that, because that's a Republican from Costa Mesa. Not exactly your flaming liberal that you would expect to go after and say, hey, back off. This is what we decided.
Yeah, but he's a Republican in a deep blue state.
Well, and in a state where Orange County went blue for the first
time
in this last election. I know our attorney general and former congressman, Javier Becerra, says he's ready to safeguard the rights of the 56% of voters who approved Proposition 64, which means that you're allowed to possess, transport, and buy up to 1 ounce. By the way, this isn't a free-for-all, right? The law does specifically speak to you can only buy an ounce of marijuana for recreational use. Look, I think it's all well-intentioned, but it's going to be tough. I really think that this administration is going to come after California, for sure. The fact that, you know, remember just not too long ago, we were talking about the big breaking news, how the president, in an off-camera press briefing, basically blocked out not just the New York Times, CNN, I think it was the AP
and BuzzFeed.
Yeah, Politico, yeah. Maybe ABC as well. But the LA Times, I was a little stunned by that. I thought the LA Times.
He liked the LA Times during the run-up to his presidency. Right. Because the LA Times had the tracking poll that always had him up front.
Of course.
And that's why he read the LA Times.
That's real news. But
well, at that point it was.
Now it's fake news because it's not saying nice things. Yeah, exactly. Hashtag time to grow up and be presidential.
Reels over feels, man.
That's right. That's right. Well, in the spirit, let me just say this. Take a deep breath. Oh, did you see what I was trying to do there? That was funny. Okay, no, take a deep breath with all this. You know, either way, if you're a big marijuana user, I just think, it's still going to be there. People will figure out a way how to obtain it. It's going to be, you're just going to blow up the black market, which is what we're trying to avoid. The more you take something away from people, the more they want it. That's just the way it works. If you have children, you know what I'm talking about. So that's just it. And I think that they need to be smart, and I would hope they do that. I would definitely say I'm a firm, ardent supporter and defender for people with medical conditions that require marijuana for medicinal use. Back off of them. Don't touch them. If you were in pain and had cancer or something, you know, God forbid you took away their medicine. So that's inhumane. So let's respect the boundaries there. Okay, we'll keep you posted on any changes, of course. And I know you will, Producer Brent. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Take a deep breath. KFI AM 640 into the newsroom. What's going on? So thank you for your comments. We love hearing from you and reading your thoughts. And we will share them with you at the end of the second hour. So remember, we go 5 to 7 here on KFI. You can listen to us on iHeart. And I welcome all of you on the East Coast, in the South, Northwest, wherever you are. Maybe you're in New Zealand. We had somebody from New Zealand hit us up. And Australia. Do I have Spain in the house? Do I have a little Egypt in the house? Come on, it's the World Wide Web. Anyway, let me say this. Speaking of travel and being far away, you got to jump on a plane, right? Got to go see grandma. Maybe got to go on vacation, which, oh my God, I'm so excited. God willing, I'm going to Israel this month, actually. So pretty soon, I'll share that with you a little bit more later. But I can't imagine getting on a plane, even if it's for 2 hours, 1 hour, or maybe 10 hours, with there being an animal on the plane with you. Snakes on a plane. Remember the movie? Snakes on the plane.
I think babies are worse, but...
No, that's not true. That's not true. They stay with their parents. But can you imagine, there are animals on planes that travel with passengers, with human beings. And you know why? Because they're called service animals. That's right. These are individuals who have some form of a psychological ailment. And it's a therapy pet. So you may get on a flight, and more you're seeing a wider range of animals with this service designation, okay? I mean, we're talking about seeing a little piggy. Yeah, like a little pig on a plane. A little pony. Someone actually brought a pony.
Should have brought a unicorn. At least they can fly.
Oh, my God. A pony. How do you get a pony on the plane? And then there are also lizards. They've seen birds. Of course, dogs, but that's normal, right? But cats? Oh, hell no. Sorry, cat lovers, but I'm incredibly allergic to cats. And this is what would drive me incredibly crazy. Now, faking a service animal is outright fraud, and it upsets me for the truly disabled. This kind of takes me to the conversation about the handicapped little permits. Not permits. They were access passes at Disneyland, which then there's a lawsuit about it because people started being hired, and there was a whole like underground black market for it. It was so stupid because people don't want to wait the 5-hour waits. But now it's hurt people like my brother, Christian, who cannot do the new and allegedly improved disability pass, which is they give you a time and then you go. It's like, no, for some individuals with, you know, different disabilities, they need to just know they can go to point A, B, C because that's their routine. And there's no such thing as rerouting or disrupting that, right? That's really tough on them. So now, of course, I can't take Christian, not to mention there's always a million people there. There's not even a downtime at Disneyland anymore. But I digress. Anyhow, so back to service animals. The idea is that there was a woman here locally who got busted. ABC 7 did a pretty good piece on this woman. So Sherman Oaks psychotherapist Carla Black, this woman bills herself as America's leading authority on emotional support animals. So get this. Are you ready? A producer at a sister station, okay, to ABC 7, was able to get one. So went online, her website, filled out this like 70-page whatever thing, and said that he or she, whatever, felt stress at work several times a day and really bad memories from 9/11 and therefore needed one. So she found this psychotherapist, Black, she found this individual qualified for an ESA. That's crazy. Never met this person. It was just like, fill out my online survey. Probably have to pay God knows how much money. And so, look, experts in medical ethics say, look, in general, if you're going to diagnose someone, it should only be done when you meet the person and, you know, you meet that person in person, not online, live, in vivo, face to face. So, you know what I'm saying? You can't diagnose someone that you haven't met. So, of course, she's being investigated now and possibly even lose or have her license suspended. We know that the person who sits on the ethics committee for the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy, not speaking for the organization, but says that, you know, it's inappropriate. And I'm sure that they're looking into this. So let's for a second here consider, what do you do? Because I would never want, you know, I'm the biggest disability rights activist you'll come across. So I'm about service animals. I believe that there should, if someone needs their service animal, then God bless them. Let's take care of them. But I do think some people are getting a little bit carried away. And some people have a real, they're fanatics of their pets and they don't want to leave them. I mean, that's an unhealthy connection, if you would ask me. It's a very unhealthy attachment.
It's like those people call them fur babies.
Yes. And I get it that an animal can be like your child. So if you lose a dog, cat, you know, you cry like you lose a person. That's beautiful. I love that we have that compassion. But the difference is, some of us are really allergic to some of your fur babies because they actually have fur. Yeah. Unlike a baby. Yes, the baby cries. The baby's annoying as beep, but you can give the baby Benadryl. There's that. I'm just kidding. But and I, listen, I went last year to Spain. I flew LAX to, Amsterdam. And there was a baby crying. And I thought, that's cool.
You want to drug a baby?
And the problem is, I have friends that give their baby alcohol. And the baby's out. Baby sleepy. Baby sleepy. You haven't done this before? Now do you all understand why I don't have babies? Yeah. Maybe the universe is protecting a child from me. But no, why not? Little Benadryl never killed anybody. Come on. Just be careful. Maybe not a newborn. All right, I'll give you that. But I was on a plane with this baby once, too. Where was I coming back from? I think New York or something. this was the sweetest baby. The baby had only had been around for like 2 weeks. I'm like, your child was just born and you're putting him on a plane with germs. They're like, yeah, no, it's okay. And this baby was so well behaved. But you get an animal up there and that's different. Plus, if you've got a pony or a lizard or maybe you have a snake, that scares people. You don't know if people have phobias. I don't think that's fair to the other person. So, unfortunately, it does limit your world. It does limit your quality of life. Or maybe the airlines can get really creative and they should have like a flight that would only be like every, not every flight, but maybe some of the major destinations like would be hubs, connecting cities could say this midnight flight will always be for service animals.
Yeah,
so
call them ARCs.
Call them ARCs. I like that. Yeah, and so then you'll get on that plane. You're like, what's up, Piggy? What's up, Lassie? What's up, Meow? Like, you've got all these animals and you're comfortable and you got to suck it up. If you go, well, I don't like snakes, and you're bringing a pony on, sorry, you know what? You're all going to have to coexist and live with this. End of story. Maybe you give the pony a little Benadryl. I'm just saying. Maybe you give the lizard some Benadryl. That's my answer to all life's problems.
Benadryl.
That's right. That's right. You know, when the man is not feeling well, and he's just, you know, like cranky. Benadryl, honey. What did you want? Oh, did you want a little rum and Coke? It's really Benadryl. Yeah. Babe, why am I so sleepy? Oh, nothing. I may have just roofied you.
We're out of time now.
All right. I'm done. Okay. I'm done roofing you. My Benadryl. All right. We'll have much more. I promise. I'm on my best behavior. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640 into the newsroom. KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Thank you for joining us. Remember, send us your notes, messages, comments, questions on my Twitter at @E_Espinosa, Instagram at Elizabeth Espinosa, ESPINOSA. Speaking of Twitter, so many of you sent me such beautiful notes and messages of love and prayer for fallen Whittier officer Keith Boyer. As you know, on Friday, I had the privilege of being able to report and cover his funeral along with my two colleagues, Jessica and Frank, on the desk at KTLA. I was at Calvary Chapel in Downey, and it was such a beautiful outpouring of support, also from community members. There were a lot of people who showed up that weren't able to go inside, but wanted to stop by and just at least shake an officer's hand, say thank you, show them that, you know, we're all in this together. Even though there are differences at times where we believe that some actions are questionable or not, in these times of so much despair where a life was killed unnecessarily because of the evil in the world, we are there holding hands together. And so I was blown away by just how lovely Keith Boyer's family, his children, are. They spoke at the podium and blew us all away. They are filled with love and faith. And by the way, the officer, who's pretty much a rookie, only 3 years on the Whittier Police Department force, he was injured in that gun battle just over, what, a week ago? Well, he still showed up to the funeral, to the memorial. Didn't want to speak to the press for obvious reasons, but I thought it was so beautiful that he was willing to do that in spite of everything he's, you know, just been traumatized with. So I wanted to share with you a little bit of the services that took place on Friday, because I know we took it live. There was a lot of here at KFI as well. We had extensive coverage. And in case you missed part of it, this is just the perfect message on this beautiful Sunday.
Today, Keith Boyer, a 27-year veteran of the Whittier Police Department, was laid to rest at Rose Hills. His three children spoke at Calvary Chapel here in Downey, and each of them moved us with their compassion and faith.
My dad raised me in the faith of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And through my faith with God, I have learned many great lessons.
And one of those was forgiveness.
God has given me the strength to forgive the man who did this. To me, it is not a man who did this, but the evil of this world.
I could accept anger into my heart. I could judge him and I could condemn him. And very few in this room would blame me. But my father taught me to choose the right thing, and he brought me up in the ways of the Lord. Ephesians 4:31 through 32 says this: get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you.
His daughter Ashley said he was always there for his kids, two granddaughters, and that he had a servant's heart.
He laid down his life for us. My dad understood that life wasn't about money or cars or houses or stuff or even religion. He understood that nobody could work their way to heaven, that it's not about us or anything that we can do. He understood that it's about what God's already done for us.
Keith Boyer, as you may recall, was killed in the line of duty last month by a documented gang member. Officers from all over the country, as far away as New York, were here to pay their respects, a final farewell to Officer Boyer, a friend, a son, and a father.
Love you, Dad.
It wasn't it just incredible hearing his children speak that way? I mean, talk about understanding what the love of the Lord is about. And if you're not a believer, I know it's probably, it might be a strange concept for you, but it was so heartwarming for me personally. I mean, I felt really affected by the fact that they were really teaching me and ministering to me that in this time of so much pain, what you do is you rely on the strength and the peace of God. And I looked at my cameraman and I said, Eric, I don't know if I could do that. Somebody would gun down my father, my loved one. It hasn't even been 2 weeks. And to stand there and give testimony that I forgive you because it wasn't you, it was the evil in the world. Absolutely true. I mean, logically speaking, that is the truth, right? And as a believer, that's what I subscribe to, and I believe that. But in reality, I even get the chills as I said that. When you're in it, and that's the real test, when you're faced with making that decision and getting rid of all that toxicity in your body, because there's so much pain, there's so much hate, understandably. I mean, this person killed your father. Your father was showing up to a traffic accident. It was a traffic collision. They thought they were there to help this guy. And when they see him tatted all, on his face, his neck, they pat him down. That's when the gun battle took place. I mean, this is the perfect scenario to say, I hate this guy. Burn him at the stake. And instead, his three children stood up there at the podium in front of a sea of law enforcement and taught us all a lesson about forgiveness. And they also made us laugh, by the way. They were so cute. And you almost feel a little inappropriate, smiling and laughing and chuckling at a funeral, right? But they did share with us that Officer Keith Boyer was super cheesy. He had the cheesiest lines. I thought that was the funniest thing. They said that he was very goofy, that he would say, his youngest son is serving in the Navy, Joseph, and he said, oh, my dad, I remember, would come up, and if there was a pretty girl, he'd say, are you a parking ticket? And, of course, he'd be like, no. Well, because you sure are fine. Yeah. And he'd say, fine, fine, fine. I mean, he says this at the podium, and we just, everybody's dying in laughter. And you're like, oh, my gosh. And it was really nice to hear also from a former partner of his who said that Keith was the kindest, sweetest, gentlest man you'll ever meet. Didn't have a mean bone in his body, that he was the ultimate team player. And he was born, by the way, on November 27th. And I thought, oh, my God, he's a Sagittarius. I know that's a girl move. But my brother was born on November 27th. So, of course, I was like, oh, that was kind of personal for me, right? But I'll say this, in covering these officer law enforcement funerals, it is so important to set aside your differences and just to acknowledge the hard work and the effort and the sacrifice that they make. And I met with some New York police officers and also some officers from Chicago. And I said, what does this mean to you? And they all said, look, we're at the end of the day, all human beings just trying to make a difference. And there are bad apples and good apples in every industry. And I will say, I think we absolutely lost a good apple in Keith Boyer. But the beauty is that he left us behind with an incredible family that continues to teach us what forgiveness means in these darkest of times. I mean, I am really, really blown away by the amount of compassion they show towards their father's killer. And let that, my friends, be a lesson to you, as it was to me. Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640.
Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shawl cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets, say money, yo, we made it. It feels so good in my hood. If you were from where I'm from, then you would know.
Good morning, good morning. KFI AM 640, Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. 6:04 AM. We had a good 5 o'clock hour. Thank you for joining us. Love seeing your comments on Twitter. Let's see here. This was Ruth Denise Hummel. You are such a doll. Ruth says, I just stay up to listen to your show. Keep up the great work. KFI is blessed to have you on their roster. Oh, if this could only be the program director treating me. No, thank you, Ruth. That is so adorable. I really appreciate you. Vita Velez tweeting us right now at this hour. Luis Manjarez on Twitter. Thank you. Good morning to you, sir. Andy Gomez. Thank you for the picture of your cats, Sydney and Juve. Am I saying that right? I hope. Juvie. I got to tell you, so this hour, there is something that I haven't really alluded to it yet because I've been fighting back tears. It's not easy, but we actually have some pretty, some hard news to share with you this morning, my dear KFI family, on the Sunday Morning show. Yeah. So when I started here, I was really excited because I thought, well, you know, you create a family, right? And you're like, who's going to be on your team? And John is on the board. He's amazing, fantastic. And producer Brent, what can I say? I mean, the guy is witty. He's witty, smart, and handsome. It doesn't get any better. And then you have a news anchor that not only is she on top of everything, but she is so well-rounded. You know, she's like one of those, you know, like a J-Lo, right? That can dance, can sing, can act. So she's triple lethal. She's funny. She's smart. She's beautiful. Whoa. And there's a fourth. She's actually nice. You know what I'm saying? And that's Deborah Mark, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't understand, and I'm all about growing, personal growth, promotion, but why would anybody want to leave this show for a weekday gig with the top radio guys on KFI, make more money, better hours? I don't understand it. What's wrong with working at O-Dark 100 on a Saturday night, Sunday morning, and not know what day it is when you come in on Sunday morning? No, I'm serious, so Deborah Mark, our news anchor, has been promoted, and she is going to be leaving us. This is her last day.
You're going to make me cry.
She is leaving us for the John and Ken show. Can I get a round of applause here? I forgot to ask you for that. Sorry, John. But play some music or something, please. I need a big round of applause. Roar! No?
No.
That doesn't sound like applause. There we go. Help me. Oh, my God, Deborah Mark, congratulations.
Thank you.
This is your last show.
It's my last show. I'm going to miss you. I even told the boss. I said, aww, I love Elizabeth. I really, I did. I was telling that to Robin.
It wasn't enough. I couldn't offer you more money. I tried to bring donuts. I tried to bring you hot chocolate on Sunday mornings. I tried.
But you failed.
I failed. No, I failed. You're leaving me for John and Ken. But I understand. And you are such a good fit, by the way. I will say this.
I've heard you
on that show. So this is exactly where you're supposed to be. And I would say God's timing is divine. So, see, you need to come here. And by the way, Deborah Mark is an incredible personality. Because before coming here, she was at country. Say it, because I was at another
radio station.
Okay. She was at another radio station. And she was the main...
I was a co-host of a morning show.
Right. You were the co-host of a morning show, and you did an incredible job.
Thank you.
And now John and Ken are so lucky to have you. They're going to steal you from me. But I wish you the best, and I think you're going to have such a great time on that show.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I really appreciate it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I don't love getting up at the crack of dawn on Sunday mornings.
But
I'm not just saying this, I love working on your show. I love just hanging with you and talking to you. And
we have little chats, of girl chats after the show.
I know, we do.
I know.
So but you I'm really going to miss you.
But this is wonderful. And you know what's funny? It's one of those, you might have somebody in your family or at work that you love and they get a promotion and they move on. But this is what it's about, isn't it? Life is about progress. It is about growth. And so though it's hard, and I really do feel like I'm losing a child.
Oh,
Joe. But I'm so proud of you, and I'm so happy to see you go for what you, you know, for what you deserve, really.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're such a big talent, and I think this is a great platform for you here on Sundays, but you will shine even more, as you should, Monday through Friday with John and Ken.
You're going to give me a big head.
No, but I'm serious. It's a really big deal. And so I am so proud of you. And I'm so excited to say that I knew her when. Please still talk to us.
Of course.
Please, will you still sign our t-shirts?
Oh, please.
When we have fundraisers here on the Sunday morning show. We have a bake sale.
You'll forget about me by next Sunday. Be somebody else here. Deborah Mark?
Who?
That name sounds vaguely familiar.
You know what's funny, though? This is really awful. You're going to be mad at me. But I was at, so I'm at work at KTLA during the week, and I ran into Ginger Chan. So Ginger Chan, of course, is the weather and traffic girl.
She replaced me here many, many years ago when I was here on the weekends.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so that's funny. So she's also an iHeart Radio family member who also does KTLA, of
yes.
course, because she's on Ryan Seacrest's show on Kiss FM.
Yeah, right.
And so I was standing there talking to one of the producers about something else, and she just walks right past me. She stops. She goes, oh, what are you going to do now that Deborah's leaving? And I looked at her, and I swear to you, it was just out of context because I'm in the KTLA newsroom. And I stared at her like a deer in headlights. And
you're like, what?
And I said, Deborah? Deborah who?
Shay!
She looked at me. She goes, wow, how quickly we forget. So Hollywood. And I said, oh, wait, Deborah Mark, you mean like from KFI? She's like, yes. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't thinking. I'm like, of course, I love her and I miss her. And I'm so bummed already. But it was really funny. It was really funny.
Just a quick thing. Ginger was really sweet when I left here because I used to work Saturday and Sunday mornings. And then Ginger, I think she took over my Saturday morning shift, I believe. But she made me these like veggie sushi rolls. Oh, she and Sean, they had all this food for me.
And Sean is still here with us.
Sean is still here. Yes, he is here.
He's our news ninja, by the way.
Yes, he is.
So if anything happens, don't worry. You know, I may have missed it on the Twitter feed, but Sean's all over it.
Sean is still here. You're just losing me. So you have everybody else.
Oh my gosh, it still hurts. Aww. So we're very proud of you.
Thank you. I'm so excited. I love John and Ken. I love their show. I have so much fun with them. I really do. It for me, it's a dream job. It's a dream come true.
I'm just going to tell you this. When they go dark, you go light. I'm so excited. I am so excited. They need a mom on that show. I'm just saying. And a hot mom. Oh my God. I saw a picture of your son on your Instagram feed.
Yes.
What a handsome man.
You know what?
Kid.
Thank you for saying that. He was so nasty to me. He hated that picture and was so mad at me that I posted that picture. I said, are you kidding? It's a great picture.
No, I kind of felt a little awkward that I thought he was really cute. I was like, okay, that's stop, Elizabeth. That's really woo. Ew. Okay, sexual predator, Elizabeth. No, but you're
that's
such a
so
lovely
funny.
Family.
Thank
such a lovely
you.
Family. So proud of you. In fact, I also want to say that I went to a gala last night. We talked about Shane's Inspiration, which is a park for people with disabilities. What an incredible night. I'm going to share a little bit more about it later in the show, but just to tease you a little, got to hang out a little bit with Andy Garcia.
Hello.
Oh.
He still looks good.
I was going to say, he's a handsome guy.
And then who loves the Dodgers? The Dodgers. The Dodgers. Okay. Mr. Cubano himself, Yasiel Puig, was there with his girlfriend. And I sat right next to him with my mom. It was so much fun. And I have some audio to share with you later. All right. When we come back. By the way, this clock is totally off, Producer Brent. I looked over there and I said, what does that say? That's totally off. It threw me off. Okay, we come back. We have an incredible woman, a parent, who is going to share her story. Let me just say this. She is such a role model for all of us. Went through a horrific ordeal with her two-year-old who was abducted. You know the story here, and I'll get into it when we come back. But she really wants to empower other mothers in the same situation. So when we come back, you will meet Marisol. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Deborah Mark in the newsroom. One of the last times I say that.
Oh, firefighters have rescued a woman and her...
KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, 619 AM. I hope that you had an incredible Saturday evening. I will tell you this. We have what, Deborah Mark, you said 20% chance of rain today?
We have a 20% chance of showers tonight, just a small chance this morning, but then it rain likely. So the other day it said 60% for this afternoon.
Yeah, well, I thought it was going to be pouring coming into work today, and thankfully it was not.
Right.
But it's a little
chilly. Afternoon. It's cold.
Yeah, it is cold. Well, there it is. So in case you get out there, just make sure you take an umbrella tonight, just in case, or a good jacket. And of course, we want to hear from you, and we appreciate you commenting. Because you can listen to us on the iHeartRadio app, but you can hit us on Twitter on at @E_Espinosa and Instagram at Elizabeth Espinosa. So during this last week, I went out to cover a story in Torrance at the Torrance Courthouse. This is a story that you may probably remember, maybe like yesterday, especially if you're a parent of a little one. So you may remember about 2 years ago, there was a little girl that was with her mother at a Gardena car wash. And suddenly, mom turns around and her two-year-old daughter, okay, just think about that for a second, is gone, just vanished, disappeared, calls the police, and it becomes an intense manhunt. You remember this, don't you, Deborah?
I vaguely remember this, but it's just, as a mom, you know, you worry about stuff like this all the time.
Right.
And it's terrifying.
It could happen in a second.
In a second.
So they caught the guy, and we're going to go through the story with more detail, but I want to bring in and introduce you to Marisol Alvarez. Good morning, Marisol, and thank you so much for agreeing to be on our show with us this morning. We met this week at the sentencing hearing of the man who abducted her daughter. So thank you for being with us and being courageous, because I know you've not spoken really publicly until that day of the hearing, and now here with us.
Yes, it's been hard.
I understand. If you don't mind, let's share with our listeners, because some people, you know, are listening to us from outside the state, did not follow the story, did not know what happened. So 2 years ago, you are in Gardena, which is, you know, it's the South Bay. It's near LAX, Los Angeles International Airport. And you're at the car wash with your little girl and another child, right?
Yes.
Okay, so walk us through what happened.
Well, everything happened so fast. I mean, I was at a car wash, which is like literally around the corner from where I live, a place where you feel safe. And I was washing my car and vacuuming. We had my daughter with me the whole time. And that moment we just put her down, that is the time that she just vanished. Like, it just, I kept an eye on her the whole entire time. And that one split second, that's all it took for someone to come and just take her.
And you explained to me that this is a self-service car wash. So you're vacuuming, and you said is it your daughter and your other daughter, or is it a boy that you have?
I have my oldest child that was with me at the time.
Right.
She was 11.
Okay.
11 at the time. And she was holding on to her, like, literally the whole entire time. And that moment we put her down, since my daughter decided to help me, she put her down, and that's when he took her.
And it was like a split second, right? I mean, you said that she just put her down for a second. So you think, you also had a false sense of security, because you said it's 3:30 in the afternoon, it's sunny out. You think everyone's looking out for each other, right?
Yes, it's sunny out. There were so many people, lots of people. And like I said, we literally live down the street from where we at. Been right to this place before, and just that split second, that's all it took. Like I said, we felt it safe. You always feel safe from where you live. Like, we do everything around there.
Right.
So,
who's that in the background? Is that, you have a newborn, right?
A one-year-old.
A one-year-old, forgive me. That's your one-year-old. Oh, how sweet. So, okay. So let's fast forward to the fact that you now call police, and it's an intense manhunt. And I can't imagine what you and your family went through, not knowing where your child is. The first 5 minutes must have felt like an eternity. And now you're talking about 2.5 hours later. I mean, for 2.5 hours, you have no idea where your little girl is. And her picture is
Oh my God.
All over the media, right? and it's mm-hmm. it's a manhunt. And what did you, like, were you at the house? Where were you? Could you even breathe? I mean, what were those 2.5 hours like for you? What were you doing?
Oh, my goodness. It was, like, the worst thing ever. You could not even imagine. It was getting dark. I was worried. Where was my daughter? If she was cold. I mean, if she was alive. Like, what happened? Like, at the moment, I was at the car wash. My family stood there. I went to the police station, but it's like you're not breathing at the time. Like, it's happening, but you're not there. It's you going through the shock. Yeah. That to this day, you still go through it. It's like it gives you some type of panic attacks.
Yeah.
And it's the worst feeling, especially that moment when it started getting dark.
Yeah. And I could feel it even as you have to recall that day. So thank you for your courage to still go through that, to share with our listeners, because you want to inspire other families that sometimes aren't, unfortunately, as lucky, even though this isn't as if she was found unharmed. And I think that's the part that's so tragic. So 2.5 hours later, there's a report that they found a little girl. It was your daughter. And your daughter was found naked, abandoned in a parking lot outside a hamburger restaurant about, 30, 25 minutes away from Gardena. And at that point, they take her to the hospital. She is evaluated. And are you reunited with her at the hospital?
Yes.
Okay. And she must have been like, mommy, mommy. Did she speak? I think you told me at the courthouse. At two, she wasn't even speaking yet, or was she?
No, she didn't even say her name. At the moment, we're still potty training her. But she could say just simple things like, mommy. And yes, when we were reunited with her, she did say. That's the first thing she said. She said, mommy.
Mm. Yeah. And tragically, this monster did have his way with her. And your daughter was sexually assaulted by a 38-year-old grown man, a 38-year-old father of, I'm told by the defense attorney when I was there, by at least 3 children. And
yes. And
this guy had just been laid off of work, apparently, that day. And I guess he decided he was going to go do this awful thing that I can't even process through my mind. Like, what compels you to think you can kidnap and assault a child, an innocent child of God, and you've had to go through this difficult trial that started in January, and he came up with some crazy excuse defense, right? That he said that it was a pimp and a prostitute or a drug dealer that he lent his car to, and that they took his car for the joyride and stole your daughter, in essence, and they hurt her.
Yes, that was his story. I mean, by him taking the stand, he actually helped us out to convict them a lot easier and faster.
Right.
I mean, this person has no type of sense of act of what he did. And by having kids, it's even, like, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, it makes it worse. Now, when we come back, I want to ask you, Marisol, how you got through the trial, because there was some very graphic testimony that was shared with the courtroom. And you're a parent, and you have to be there. You were there for your daughter. You said to me, I was her voice. And as hard as it was to sit through that trial, I needed to show up for my child. So when we come back, we will continue that part of the story. Thank you so much, Marisol, for being with us. This is Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640, Into the Newsroom with Deborah Mark.
Police are looking for a man suspected.
KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Rise and shine, my friends. It is 6:34 a.m., and it's going to be a lovely day out there, although chilly, and it may rain tonight. So just keep that in mind. Make sure that if you do a family outing, you bundle up a little bit. We're wimpy here in L.A., as you know. We don't do well with anything below 65 degrees. We have been speaking and had the opportunity and really the honor of speaking with a mother whose daughter, a two-year-old, was kidnapped 2 years ago. She was at a car wash in Gardena, and her daughter was kidnapped by this monster who took her, we don't know where, but she was found 2.5 hours later, and he had abandoned her. She was naked, a two-year-old little girl, in a parking lot, and it turns out she was taken to the hospital, as you can imagine, and she was sexually assaulted. And that, of course, has changed this family forever, the dynamic, everything. And then on top of it, of course, you've got to go through the legal system and you have to relive the horror and you have to sit through hear terrible things about what was done to your child, which I don't wish that on anyone. And, you know, sexual assault victims, even as adults, will tell you it is the most painful thing to do. And now, can you imagine you as a parent in there listening to what happened to your child? But this is what happened to Marisol Alvarez. And Marisol, thank you for being with us and staying with us to talk about this, because I know you wanted to empower and encourage other sexual assault victims to come forward, and also parents who are in the same situation as you, to keep moving and walking forward, because it's not easy. You're still in therapy. I understand your daughter is still in therapy. And I want to start with, how is she doing?
She's doing great. She's now 4. She's doing great. I mean, I take therapy to understand her and to help myself. And she's such a good kid. And very active, so.
Good.
She's good, thanks God.
But you did say that there are certain things where you notice there has been a change. And
yes.
So, for example, she's good with family if they come over and try to pick her up and give her a hug. But if it's someone she doesn't know, forget about it.
Forget it. Just forget about it. She's the cutest little girl. But if people were to come up to her and say, try to talk to her, she'll talk. But as soon as they reach their hand, try to touch her, forget it. Forget it. And she'll just come. She's always next to me, too. And she will, like, get behind me.
Yeah. She'll run to your leg type of thing, right? And kind of wrap her arms around your leg to hold on to you.
Yes.
What a sweetie. Ugh. Well, I'm really, really glad that you're going through the process with the medical side and the therapy. There's a little bit of closure. I'm not saying it's everything, but a little bit, in that we were sitting together. We were in the courthouse in Torrance this last week when the monster who did this to your daughter, Michael Eichler, a 38-year-old man from Torrance, who has been married twice, has 3 children of his own, and apparently I understand his ex-wives both came into court and testified against him, that they had found child porn on him while they were married to him. And it scares me because I think of his own children, if, you know, they've been exposed to something, if something happened to them growing up. How did you get through the testimony when they talked about what happened to your daughter?
I mean, I don't even know, but I knew I had to be there. For her, it was not so much for me anymore. It was for her. And as a mother, you go that extra mile for your children. And that's what I did every morning when I woke up to court. I just pray to God that he'll give me that strength to show up, to even testify against this person, to sit there and hear. And then there was more details that I didn't know about until we went to trial. I never seen the picture when they found it until January. So it's been hard, but there's things we have to do, not for ourselves, but for our children. Yeah. And that's the extra miles that I went every morning for her.
Yeah. So the defendant is Michael David Eichler, 38, and he was sentenced to 55 years to life in prison, convicted on all 3 charges. We asked you, of course, after the hearing, was it enough? Is it enough?
You know, it's never enough. It would never be enough. Like I said, I would like for him to be sentenced just like a murderer. Just give him life. Give him life in prison. He's eligible for parole into 55, locked, which he'll be like 90-something. Mm-hmm. I mean, give him life. Well, fortunately, that's what the law, maximum time, it was the 55 to life. But it's good. I mean, right. I have a peace of mind. I feel such a relief.
Good. And I know that we were sitting there, and I turned around when the judge said 55 years to life. And this guy didn't even move. It almost felt like he had no remorse. Just a heartless person sitting there.
Yeah, he didn't even flinch anything. He just stood there and just shook his head.
Never offered you an apology?
Never. Never, ever. Neither his family or him. No one, never.
And I understand that he has filed an appeal. Go figure. And your sister, I talked to your sister as well, and she said that how dare he even ask that the cameras not be there? Her comment was, how dare he even have the audacity to say anything through his attorneys, because he didn't want the media there, obviously, the press. When he was sentenced, we videotaped that. And how dare he, when he took away your daughter's rights that day, and now he wants his own?
Oh, yeah.
And your sister's like, I can't even sleep. I have nightmares from after hearing what he did to your daughter.
Oh, yeah. It's been hard.
Yeah.
It's been very hard. And I mean, for him to even, for me, I honestly think he's just trying to waste time so he won't have to go to prison. That shows me that he is afraid of what's going to happen to him. And he is just trying to make this longer. And just for him getting sentenced the day he was convicted, he stretched it out, his sentence day, to the max. We had to wait the whole month of February.
Mm. Get pushing it back, hearing, right?
Yeah, so he's pushing. He's trying to push. But like I said, by him taking the stand, he did us a big favor.
Yeah, he made no sense. He was terrible. We're up against the clock now. But Marisol, thank you so much for being with us and having to relive this. But I know you wanted to share the story. It's part of the healing process. What would you say to someone who's going through the same situation? How would you advise them? Or how do you keep them strong going like you were able to? Because I know so many people prayed for you and you were so thankful and wanted to thank everyone.
I mean, for a parent to go through this, you just have to be strong. Be strong. Just remember, day by day, we still got to go out there and live our day. Or if we have any more children like I do, if you were ever a victim, we got to stay strong. We can't let people like this take our peace of mind. We can't let people like this make us feel scared of certain things. We got to live it and just remember there's a God, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Power of prayer is amazing. Marisol Alvarez, please give your daughter a very big hug on my part and all of our, you know, on our, all our behalf here at KFI. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate you.
No problem. Thank you for your support as well.
All right. You take care. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Into the newsroom with a little bit more breaking news or not here. Deborah Marks.
Well, the White House is demanding Congress investigate whether...
Mama said knock you out. I'm going to knock you out.
What is that, LL Cool J? Oh, I got that right. Yay. Hey, KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, 648 AM. By the way, tonight, Sunday, March 5th, that's right, the 2017 iHeart Radio Music Awards. Kind of fun, huh? Our buddy here, Ryan Seacrest, is going to host at the Forum. If you're out there, have some fun tonight. Yeah. And take an umbrella because it might rain. Something to think about. So in a second when we come back, actually, we should go to the calendar section first, right, Producer Brent? Yeah, let's do that. And then I'll tell you about Shane's inspiration, the incredible gala that I went to last night with some celebs. And then Deborah Mark. Oh, more Deborah Mark. Hey, Sharon Sperber is the owner and executive producer of Eat, See, Hear. Now, this sounds fantastic. Welcome and good morning, Sharon. Are you there? Sharon?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. Good morning.
Okay. Hi, so good morning. Thank you for having me.
Of course. This sounds incredible. So it's like under the stars, great food, great atmosphere. What is Eat, See, Hear about?
Eat, See, Hear is about having a fantastic time in the middle of the summer. We are in Los Angeles in Southern California. Everybody knows we've got great weather. It's, you know, perfect time to hang out outside with your friends, with your dog, and watch a movie on a giant movie screen. We bring in food trucks. We've got live music from up-and-coming artists, and it's just a great time to chill out and hang out with your friends.
Great. So, but this isn't happening now. This is something that happens in the summertime, right?
Exactly. Every Saturday from May through September, like mid-September.
Okay. Producer Brian, I mean, are we a little early? Just saying.
Well, we're a little early, but we earlier this week on Monday, or Wednesday rather, sorry, I don't know what day it is anymore, we released our annual Guess the Movie contest. So what we do is we create an icon for each film that we're going to be showing this summer, and we put it up on our website and social media, and we tell everybody, see if you can guess what our movies are. We don't tell them. We give very few, if any, clues, as people ask on social media, and they try and guess them based on what this little icon is. And so far, from what I've seen on the entries, nobody has guessed all of them yet.
Okay, that sounds fun. There's live music before each movie, which is great. So exactly. where can they sign up and check it out?
Our website is eatseehere.com, and tickets go on sale on March 13th, and our first event is May 6th.
Nice. All right, we'll keep you posted. Of course, we'll post it on our page. Thank you so much, Sharon.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And here at the calendar section, we like to make sure you are well-informed as to what to do with the familia. So today, San Fernando Valley Comic Book Convention. Hey, who loves a comic book convention? It's happening here. 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. 10 to 4, it's over off Balboa Boulevard in Granada Hills. Admission's only $5, and children under 12, free. I love that. They've got a lot of great artists that are going to be there. Writers, you know, illustrators, the whole shebang. Also, Descanso Gardens, they have their annual Cherry Blossom Festival that's happening today at 9 a.m., 9 to 5. Sounds fun. It's only, maybe a few bucks. La Cañada Flint Ridge over off of Descanso Drive. Very, very nice. And then let's see. I think we have one more here, right? No? Oh, no, we don't. Okay. But if not, also, maybe we'll see you tonight at the iHeartRadio Music Awards. Hey. Well, last night, so we had Georgiana Junko Kelman. She was like the chair of the party of the committee for Shane's Inspiration. Now, Shane's Inspiration, I came across him actually many years ago covering a story. And it's a park that's basically accessible for persons with disabilities, children, right? Because there's a lot of parks that, you know, kids in a wheelchair or that have just, you know, some type of ailment physically, hard to get to and play. And now it's incredible that they're actually also doing an incredible job with reaching out to our wounded warriors, our veterans who come back. They have a physical disability and it's hard for them to play with their children at the park. So now Shane's Inspiration Parks also work for those families and they have expanded. I mean, boy, I remember doing the story. There was just a few of them. In town here in Los Angeles, and now they're around the world. They're building a park in Russia also, and parks in the Midwest and in the South, and it's just everywhere. It's incredible. I think they built two recently in South LA. So last night I show up to the gala because John is like, you got to come, you got to help with the auction. I'm like, girl, I am not an auctioneer. So thankfully John was there with me, this professional auctioneer, and he's like, well, one, two, three, one in the corner here. And I'm like, and now I know how Vanna White feels as I just stand here and go, hi, you over there in the corner.
Were you all dressed up?
Well, Deborah Mark, I'm not going to lie. I did take off the PJs and wore something a little more fancy. I did my best. What was funny was when we got there, I had no idea she had placed us with, the table, right? So you get to the VIP table. I'm with my mom, who's like the best date ever. My mother is awesome. And I'm sitting next to Yasiel Puig. So Yasiel Puig, of course, is, you know, the Dodger star. And he was there with his better half, I guess not his wife, it's his girlfriend. But she's so sweet. She had just had we just had a baby a month ago. And I said, and you look like that? Dang, what am I doing wrong? I mean, it was incredible. Such a sweet girl. And then also at our table was Andy Garcia, who was the MC, and he was fantastic. He played the drums at the end of the night. So it was an old night in Havana. Can I get a little Cuban music, please? Georgiana, my friend, is Cuban, obviously. And so, oh, Jess, we danced some salsa. Can I get something a little faster, though? Because we were a little crazy last night. We were really dancing it up. And it's for such a good cause. We raised so much money. So it was really fantastic. There you go. I am back in Havana. My friend, she's in Cuba right now.
I want to go to Cuba.
I know. I want to go so bad. I thought I want to go. So no, it was wonderful. And then I turn around. Hold on. I see J.K. Rowling. He was there. I took a picture with him. I need to post it still. But I did post the one with Yasiel Puig on Instagram. So check it out. But he was so nice. He was there. And then I turned around and I realized, oh my God, have you seen that show on ABC, Speechless?
No.
Okay.
I have not.
But do you know what I'm talking about? John, do you kind of know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I kind of get your rift.
Okay. my rift, really? Really? Okay. It's an incredible show. So basically, this is a show with Minnie Driver where it's this family that, let me see, I'm going to make sure I say this correctly. Let's go into, let's see. Okay. So it's a family that is, has a son with CP, cerebral palsy. And so he has true unique mobility and communication challenges. This is a very involved person with cerebral palsy. And so it talks about the challenges, a family with a child with special needs, right? And how funny they can be and how good at dealing with all these different things that happen in your life. And it's just such a wonderful, wonderful sitcom. I don't know if I call it a sitcom, but I'll call it that. But it's a great series. It's on ABC. You have to check it out. And Scott Silvestri is the creator, and he was there last night. The actors were there, and they were so lovely. And you realize the boy that, and I don't know, I think, you know, I don't know how old he is, but the boy who plays the person with disabilities actually has disabilities. He actually is someone with cerebral palsy who really has challenges at speaking. So, you know, it's hard for him to, like, enunciate words. But it was so wonderful. He was on stage. He announced some of the winners of a raffle. And it was just so inclusive. But when Scott Silvestri took the stage, I have to say, I was blown away. He said, you know, he created the show Joey. Remember Joey?
No, I didn't.
No?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
gosh, I got to get with the times.
No, all good. But Scott is so adorable. He said, you know, I grew up with my brother who is nonverbal and has cerebral palsy. And I thought, it would be nice to kind of create a show that, you know. And I thought, oh, my God, you're speaking to my heart. Like, we just connected. So I talked to him and I said, hey, maybe we'll get you on our show. And I love the fact that he said, you know, we thought at first we were doing something that people are going to be like, oh, I'm learning. And he said, no, was it? So many people have come forward saying, this is my experience. I totally know what it's like to have been raised with someone, you know, with disabilities and what that experience is like. But anyway, Scott Silvestri was fantastic. So nice. And all the other actors and our Dodger guy, you know. Yasiel Puig was there.
Look at you.
Well, you know,
with
Deborah Mark.
Celebs.
I mean, if you're going to leave me and you're a top celeb, I've got to find someone to replace you.
I like that. Thanks for the laugh.
No, we don't know who is going to be filling in for you. It's a big, it's a tall order. Big shoes to fill. But ladies and gentlemen, once again, Deborah Mark, our news anchor, is going to the John and Ken show. And I see a lot of you already tweeting. You're sending you love. So
thank you.
John, would you like to say something? Final parting words. And producer Brent, don't be shy.
Crickets?
It has been an honor, Deborah Mark. Aww. It has been a complete honor.
Thanks, John. I'm going to miss you.
I'm fighting back tears.
Yes. He was so sweet. He sent me a congratulatory email.
Oh, producer Brent, he's too choked up.
Is he too choked up?
Yeah, he's actually in the corner, huddled like a baby. All right, producer Brent, come on. Don't be shy. You have to say something to our girl. I know you wanted to bake that pie, but there was no time. Come on, you slept like 20 minutes, like I do every Saturday night to Sunday.
Bye, Deborah. This is producer Brent. I'm going to miss you.
I'm going to miss you, too. You guys are the greatest. Mm. Seriously, I've loved working on the show. I really have.
Well,
I'm going to miss you.
We miss you already, but we are so proud of you. We're so happy for you.